I love the story of David and Goliath, and I think most people do. It's that classic underdog story of someone up against an impossible enemy, someone who, by all accounts, should have won. You know, I just recently watched my beloved Pittsburgh Steelers lose to a team that they should have probably won against, but such is life. But at a deeper, like, allegorical level, we can also look at the story of David and Goliath as an illustration of the spiritual combat that we are each called to engage in on a daily basis. Goliath embodies all of the terrible arrogance and pride of the devil, the father of all lies. The giant Philistine mocks God to David's face and seems to get away with it at first. He's big, he's mean, and impossibly strong. And in contrast, David is puny, he's tiny, he's just a little boy. He stands up to Goliath with what looks like pitiful weakness. He even refuses to wear the armor that Saul encourages him to wear. He basically says, no, I don't need that. That's going to hinder me. All he goes up against Goliath with is a staff and a slingshot and 5 stones. It just looks like a disaster waiting to happen. Did anyone honestly think that David was going to win? I seriously doubt it. I don't think anybody thought he had a snowball's chance. And yet, David confidently confronts the evil of Goliath. Not because he trusted in himself, in his own abilities to win, but because he knew that God was with him. He says it himself, "The Lord who delivered me from the claws of the lion and the bear will also keep me safe from the clutches of this Philistine." This kind of heroic confidence in the Lord reminds me of an amazing episode that I just kind of recently heard about, or was reminded of, rather, from the life of St. Anthony of Egypt, St. Anthony of the Desert. So this saint is the saint that we're celebrating today. He's not my personal patron, but that's St. Anthony of Padua, but St. Anthony of the Desert is awesome, too. But he's one of the most famous desert fathers, and people often call him the father of all monks. And just to kind of give you a little bit of his backstory, after hearing in the midst of the liturgy, actually, the reading from the gospel, Christ's call to go and sell all that he had and give it to the poor, Anthony literally, like, took Christ at his word and went and abandoned his wealth. He threw away all of his riches. He gave it to the poor. And he went into the desert to live this life of extreme asceticism. And similar to David, St. Anthony of Egypt entered into great spiritual combat. Only his trial was not allegorical. He was directly and openly attacked by demons. And while in his desert solitude, Anthony was frequently physically and mentally tormented by devils. And on one occasion, the devils beat him up so badly physically, like he was like at the point of death. And in fact, his companions thought he actually had died. They hurt him so poorly that his friends dragged him away, and as he was being carried off, he like revived miraculously and asked that he be brought back to the cave where the devils had beat him up so bad. Like, that's like amazing courage right there. He's like, bring me back to the spot where I got beat, where I got hurt terribly. It's just amazing. And when he returned, of course, the demons resumed their attack right away. They started doing exactly what they were doing before, attacking with them with their horns, their teeth, their claws, their insults, kind of like Goliath was insulting David in our first reading. Until, finally, there was this piercing, blinding light, and all of the demons just ran off. They were terrified by this bright light. And as a Lord of the Rings fan, I have to think of the image of, like, Gandalf, like, galloping out into the field and, like, shooting a blinding light up against the Nazgul, and they all just kind of scatter. Because evil can't stand God's light. It can't stand to be exposed. But after the devils ran off and Anthony was kind of recovering, he asked God, because he knew it was God that did all this, he asked the Lord, "Where were you, Lord? Why did you not help me in the beginning?" And this is a fair question, I think, if we're honest with ourselves. And I ask it all the time, you know, why does evil seem to have the upper hand in our world, in our culture? Why do hundreds of thousands of protesters have to assemble at Washington on Friday to defend a right that should be obvious to all of us, that the unborn are to be protected? Why is it when we proclaim the absolute truth of the gospel are we accused of being bigoted, superstitious, out of touch, archaic? Let us listen to the Lord's response to Anthony's honest question. He said this to Anthony, "I was here, Anthony, but I wanted to watch your struggle. I wanted to watch your struggle. And now, since you persevered and were not defeated, I will be your helper forever." These words are very, very hard. They're not easy to swallow. But they're also encouraging. If we find ourselves struggling now, it doesn't mean that we're too weak or that we're not good enough or that evil is winning. To quote the kids these days, the struggle is real. But we can take heart because it's a fruitful struggle. By God's grace, we have the opportunity, the privilege, to struggle well and persevere. Thankfully, not all of us will be attacked openly by demons, but each one of us here this morning has a Goliath of our own that tries to discourage us, that tries to kind of force us to give up, to abandon the quest of holiness, the imitation of Christ. But as C.S. Lewis reminds us so well, you find out the strength of a wind by trying to walk against it, not by lying down. We are meant to struggle against evil in the world and in our own hearts. It was never supposed to be easy for us. And when we fail, if and when we fail, we can turn to the Lord for mercy, and we can get right back to the struggle. If St. Anthony of Egypt can teach us anything right here, right now, it's this, that whenever heroic virtue is attempted, Satan will be close at hand to try and derail us and confront us and bully us. But this isn't a cause for alarm. You know, Jesus already won, and the devil knows that. He's trying to make us forget that. And Christ is even closer to us in that moment, all along. And while he won't take away our cross, while he won't take away our struggle, he will give us the strength to persevere. And his blinding and beautiful light will ultimately dispel the darkness. He will deliver us and uphold us if we only hold fast to him and continue to struggle well.